Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
Welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report for today. Holiday weekend coming up, Labor Day. Going to be laboring. Of course, this is Friday, September 2nd, 2022. And a lot of things, obviously, a lot of headlines, a lot of things taking place. But I want to get into one thing, this segment. I believe it is extremely chilling once you understand the depth and the breadth of the war launched against the American patriot, against the nationalists, against the Christian conservative. And if I sound like a broken record, you know what? It's that important. Please listen, pay attention. I've got some new information here. I'm not sure how many people, if any, I'm not sure how many people have covered this. Because this is the method, this is the manner, this is the mode by which they will attempt to silence us, to enslave us, and to ultimately neutralize us. I'm going to start out with something that's been floating around this half of the week, laying the groundwork for what's taking place, what we need to know, where we're at in terms of what they, the powers, the globalist powers represented in the United States, what they think of us and how they are going to be handling us henceforth, unless we, of course, do something about it. Are we going to do anything about it? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. But you can be damn sure right now that they're coming for you. They're coming for me. They're coming for Eric the Tech. They're coming for our families. They're coming. I'm going to play this. I might have played this a couple of days already this week. I'm not sure. But this is Karine Jean-Pierre, the lesbian Haitian press secretary. Gosh, I never thought I'd say that. For the presidency, right? The American presidency. Anyone who voted, supported, or otherwise endorse President Donald Trump or a threat to our democracy, as she states, democracy, to our freedom and to our rights. Touched on this yesterday with Steve Quayle. Well, I thought that was a great program, by the way. And, of course, on Wednesday. But I want to replay this. Let this sink in again just for a moment. And if we can go ahead and play that, let's do it right now.
The president thinks that there is an extremist threat to our democracy. The president has been clear as he can be on that particular piece when we talk about a democracy, when we talk about our freedoms. The way that he sees is the MAGA Republicans are the most energized part of the Republican Party. This is an extreme threat to our democracy, to our freedom, to our rights. The president thinks.
Okay. Let that sink in for a moment. Now, this next clip, and you know, if you've been watching, listening to this program for any length of time, you know I go through really hundreds of videos, hundreds of articles, and I try to bring you the most concise and succinct information and connect the dots. I try to be very, very... I try to be respectful of your time because you only have so many hours in a day to listen to a program or to watch a program. Wednesday night, I believe it was, Tucker Carlson did a 20-minute monologue introduction. Now, I'm not going to play a 20-minute introduction, but there was a portion, a small portion in there, about 4.5 minutes, 5 minutes roughly. I do want to play because this strikes in a number of areas at the heart of what you and I have been talking about, what others have been talking about. I want you to listen to this very carefully because there will be a couple of different topics that segue into one another, but there's one theme that I think nails it, absolutely nails it. This is Joe Biden declares war on Americans. You, me, Eric the Tech, we're the problems. But listen carefully, watch carefully to this very small segment of Tucker Carlson's opening monologue. I think it was from Wednesday. And, you'll see. Here it is.
Joe Biden's fault. And he can't admit it, just as he can't face the prospect of his own eternal future as his 80th birthday approaches. So he externalizes it. He yells at you, not himself. You're the problem. You're the reason things are broken. Your racism, your transphobia, your minivan. It's your fault. You stood in the way of progress. You are a Nazi. We hereby declare war on you. That's exactly what you're seeing. That's happening. And you wonder, as Joe Biden attempts this, if he can pull it off. Middle class America is the problem? That's not an easy case to make. There are too many facts in the way of it. For example, last Thursday, the same day that Joe Biden announced that Republicans were fascists, that same day was perhaps not by chance the very same day that Joe Rogan aired his interview with Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook. In that conversation, Zuckerberg admitted that he censored the views of Hunter Biden's laptop, any news of it whatsoever, because the FBI told him to. The FBI told Zuckerberg this was Russian propaganda, even when they knew for a fact that it was not because they had the laptop. In other words, the FBI interfered with the presidential election. That seems like a big story. In fact, it seems like a turning point. But Joe Biden ignored it completely. In a speech that day, Biden lashed out at anyone who might dare complain about the FBI. Quote, "It's sickening to see the new attacks on the FBI," he said, suggesting that what seemed like legitimate criticism was in fact a threat of violence. Speech is violence. But Biden was not alone in delivering that message. That very same day, the Justice Department's designated mouthpiece at NBC News, a man called Frank Figaluzzi, defended the FBI in social media to the same effect, and so did many others.
Okay, here it is.
So if you step back, it started to look coordinated, and you began to wonder, could it be that Joe Biden is not simply a lone, elderly Democratic politician? Could it be that Joe Biden is a mouthpiece for much larger forces? It's hard not to conclude that, because no single American president could eliminate this many core civil liberties all by himself in a year and a half. All of a sudden, permanent Washington can raid the home of a former president. He had nuclear secrets. No, he didn't. Whatever. Who cares? He's bad. And then round up his personal attorneys and then steal their privileged communications. That's never been allowed. It is now. No single president did that. No single president could turn trespassing in a public building into a felony and then arrest hundreds of people for it and send them to solitary confinement in the D.C. jail. No single president could do that. No single president could redefine an entire opposition party as Nazis and then proceed as if that were perfectly normal. That couldn't happen. No president could do that. A president would need help to do that. And Biden has had it. This didn't arrive out of the blue. We've been building toward this moment for a very long time. Last year, the Biden administration decided to have thousands of law-abiding Republicans fired from their jobs, their lives destroyed. How'd they do that? Well, they mandated an experimental vaccine that didn't actually work, a drug the UK government now admits can be dangerous and shouldn't be used in women who are pregnant or breastfeeding, that drug. And then they watched who disobeyed their instructions.
I'm announcing that the Department of Labor is developing an emergency rule to require all employers with 100 or more employees that together employ over 80 million workers to ensure their workforces are fully vaccinated or show a negative test at least once a week. We're going to protect vaccinated workers from unvaccinated coworkers. We've been patient, but our patience is wearing thin.
Oh, so that was a fast way to find out who was disobedient. But just in case there was any question, at the very same time, Biden demanded the entire American population wear paper masks on their faces, not to protect them or to keep them healthy. That didn't work. but as a kind of uniform, the Democratic Party's equivalent of the Mao pin. And anyone who didn't couldn't be trusted.
Look, I hope everybody's realized by now these masks make a difference. And the last thing we need is the Neanderthal thinking that in the meantime, everything's fine. Take off your mask. Forget it. It still matters.
The mask makes a difference. That was from March of last year, at which point we knew the mask did not, in fact, make a difference except to cut off oxygen to your brain. But the mask made quite a political difference. It separated the obedient from the disobedient immediately. You knew exactly whose team everyone was on by looking at their faces. And that, of course, was the point. And once we allowed that, the progression continued, and it's been stark. Wear a mask or you're dangerous. Take the shot or you're a criminal. And at this point, vote for Joe Biden or you're a Nazi. That's where we are now. So as Biden explained on Tuesday, this is a big change. Once you've been declared a Nazi, you don't have rights. You can, for example, be trusted with firearms.
But we're not stopping here. I'm determined to ban assault weapons in this country. Determined. I did it once before, and I'll do it again.
We could rebut that. Yeah, they did before. It didn't work. That's not the point. Look at the rage. Look at the rage. That was this week. Remember a year ago. Stop the shouting. Lower the temperature. Unite our nation. That was last year. Not anymore, Nazis. They're taking off the velvet glove, and we're about to feel the steel beneath it.
They're taking off the velvet glove, and we're about to feel the steel beneath that. Now, I want you to think about that statement, because in that few minutes there, and I realized that.
That spoon I threw at you the other day?
Yes.
That's an assault weapon? They're going to ban my spoons?
And that left a mark. You were eating Chipotle, and I objected. I don't think it was a spoon. I think it was a spork. Yeah. Even more dangerous. It's an assault weapon. Needs to be banned. Don't forget, they banned... didn't they ban knives somewhere? Anyway. All right. But in that clip, you heard about social media's interaction with the federal government, the January 6th detainees, the redefining of opposition, SARS-CoV-2 response, and obedience to this insanity. Otherwise, you are a Neanderthal thinking. And then, of course, you have to have the obligatory firearms/assault weapons ban. As Eric the Tech pointed out, anything could be an assault weapon, including and especially sporks. But I digress. Now, this is all stuff you know. This is all, I believe this is all information that regardless, you can sit your brain dead, corpse-like, blue-haired, tattooed, pierced neighbor. So you can sit them down and show them this and show them what I'm about to show you. And I don't know if there's any hope for them, but let me show you something that perhaps you didn't know about. Remember the disinformation board? Remember that? Remember Mary Poppins? What was her name? It doesn't matter. That Scary Poppins, I should say. Remember her? The disinformation board that's no longer? Well, buckle in, because you're about to see some things that I'm not so sure that you're familiar with. This, I believe, is from Natalie Winters from, let me just double check here. I want to appropriate this correctly. No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. No, this is actually it really, the link will be in the program description box, and from there you can source this out. DHS wants to continue its disinformation work, flag falsehoods to social media platforms. Now I'm going to get into, obviously, you see the motive, you see the objective of these people. It's laid it out for you. They want to snuff us out. End of story. They want to snuff us out. They want to make us enemies of the state. They want to put us on this leper island. They want to kill us, ultimately, after they take away our stuff, including our assault weapons. But how are they going to do all of this? How are they going to convince a somewhat gullible public, at least those who believe Biden's doing a good job? How are they going to do this? Well, they need the Department of Homeland Security. And this is where this comes in. The Department of Homeland Security must be able to address the disinformation that threat, yes, the disinformation threat streams that can undermine the security of our homeland. You know, every time I hear homeland security more and more and more, I'm getting very, very, very tired of that statement or that name, homeland security. You talk about, I'm telling you what, you talk about the Nazi-like connotations. There it is. Okay. Department of Homeland Security's controversial disinformation board reads this particular article was recently shut down after the First Amendment concerns. But the DHS seemingly still intends to continue its disinformation work. Oh boy, are they. And I'm going to show you Exhibit A and Exhibit B in subparts of both to show you exactly how they're going to do this. A recent report from DHS, their advisory council, Disinformation Best Practices and Safeguards Subcommittee, states that while there is no need for a separate disinformation governance board, you know, headed by Scary Poppins, the eclectic, coquettish, that's the word, coquettish. Isn't that the word, coquettish? Sure. Scary Poppins. Woman. I presumably. The department must be able to address the disinformation threat streams that can undermine the security of our homeland. Hail! All right. The report was produced after DHS Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. Sounds American, right? Yeah. Asked the subcommittee to make recommendations for how the DHS can most effectively and appropriately address disinformation that poses a threat to the homeland while protecting civil rights and providing greater transparency across this work. You can take and you can black out that second part of that sentence. So the report that's on your screen, and you can hold that up there for a few minutes because we're going to be getting into this. That report provides a very, very broad definition of disinformation. It outlines how the DHS detects and mitigates information that falls under the scope of this definition and provides the subcommittee's recommendations. Okay? Now, the report outlines how several U.S. government agencies that falls under DHS's purview. Now, let me name them. The Office of Intelligence and Analysis, INA for short, FEMA, Customs and Border Protection. The report outlines how those agencies surveil online messages, forums, and social media to identify disinformation, rumors, and attitudes related to migration. Now, let me tell you something, okay? You're gonna try to adjust my attitude? You really want to go there?
There ain't no adjusting your attitude.
F no. No, And hell no.
Homeland.
Yeah, Homeland Security. Okay. I remember talking with George Norrie about this. And actually falling on the side. You know, it's kind of funny. Speaking out of school, I suppose, talking with Tom Danheiser, his producer, and George Norrie about this particular thing, and saying, you know what, this wouldn't be, this is subsequent, just right after 9/11. Yeah, okay, we can do this, Homeland Security, I get it. And falling on the side of it's okay. Boy, was I friggin' wrong. Was I wrong, man? You know what? I was so wrong. Why didn't one of you come over and slap me? Seriously.
Because then your hand would become an assault weapon.
That's right. And then you'd have to take off your hand. Be banned.
Cut off.
Banned hand. All right. All right. So, Eric the Tech, he's feeling froggy today. Of course, it's the end of the week. It's a holiday weekend, you know. Last weekend of the summer. Did we have a summer? Yeah, I'm a little tan. People say, you go to a tan booth? No, you know what? You know, I've been doing, I've been going on my back porch and going through notes and all sorts of things and doing a lot of reading and research. And I tan easy, so I don't know. It's just my skin. Would you be quiet? Okay, where am I going with that? All right, so anyway, listen to this. The subcommittee adds that DHS should be able to flag this information to social media platforms. Now, do we get into... Yeah, you saw on... did the Tucker clip include Zuckerberg? I can't remember.
I do not think it did.
Okay, because I might have cut that out. All right. Remember when Zuckerberg went to Rogan, was on Rogan, and admitted that... Zuckerberg admitted that they censored the Hunter Biden laptop. And again, I've got copies for any FBI. Swag bag out the door. Go ahead. But the bottom line... I keep saying that, and one of these days they're going to come in here and look for something else. And here's how they're going to get us. If you want to really know the granular level details, and I think you do. So, in the show prep notes, this would be the first PDF or the first page, disinformation best practices. You had it on the screen before. Let's take a look at this, if you don't mind. Yes. This is on page 6 of that particular document, which was dated August 24, 2022. Oh, before that, let me give you a little surprise.
Killing me.
Yeah, I know I'm killing you. I'm sorry. This would be the attachment number. Let me see here for today's show notes. This would be attachment number 1. Okay. I'm going to put a picture, or Eric's texting, I'm going to put a picture on the screen. You tell me who this person is. Any ideas? Studio audience, any ideas?
Bruce Jenner.
You know what? You get points for, you get some points. No. Let's go to image 2. Same person, 1993. Look familiar? Oh, yeah, it looks kind of familiar. Who is that? Remember the names. Remember the names. Jamie Gorelick. And people might say, well, okay, but I still don't know who Jamie Gorelick is. Okay. Jamie Gorelick is the infamous architect of the wall, the intelligence wall. She's a lawyer who served as the Deputy Attorney General of the United States from 1994 to 1997. This is during the Clinton years. Obviously, Now, she has been a partner at WilmerHale since 2003. She's an attorney, obviously, and served on the board of directors of Amazon since 2012. Now, here's the deal with Jamie Gorelick. While serving as deputy attorney general under Clinton, she did speak in favor of banning the use of strong encryption. Think of Proton Mail. And called for a key escrow system to allow the federal government access to encrypted communication of any kind. You cannot communicate without us seeing what you're saying. That's Jamie Gorelick. Oh, but there's more. Even though that she was absolutely inexperienced with finance, Gorelick was appointed vice chairman of Fannie Mae from 97 to 03. That's the Federal National Mortgage Association. Why am I bringing this up? Because, look, these people are selected for reasons. So during that period, Fannie Mae developed a $10 billion accounting scandal. Who'd have thunk that? Okay, no experience. And we're going to toss you in there. $10 billion. But it gets worse than that. Business Week in 02 interviewed her about the financial health of Fannie Mae and such. And she, of course, says, oh, yeah, we believe we're doing a good job. Of course, anyone missing or anyone misappropriating $10 billion, who cares, right? All right. Now, it even gets worse than that. Subsequent to that, they get the 9/11 issue where she writes this letter, this op-ed to the Washington Post, where she states that Attorney General John Ashcroft asserts that the single greatest structural cause for 9/11 was the wall that segregated criminal investigators and intelligence agents, that I built that wall through a March 1995 memo. She goes back into the early stuff, 93 World Trade Center bombing, 95 Oklahoma City, all of the intelligence failures. She was one of the early architects, in my personal opinion, research, reasoned opinion. She was one of the early architects of dividing up, okay, of the weaponization, I'll just put it that way, of the intelligence community. And she is conflicted out the wazoo. All right. Why do I bring up Jamie Gorelick? Go back to the PDF. There you go. And if you can, scroll up, scroll back toward the beginning of this. Da-da-da-da-da-da, a little bit of circus music here. Keep going, keep going, keep going. I'll tell you when to stop. You'll almost... Oh, I love that. This page is intentionally left blank. I'm not going to comment. Okay. Hey, stop. Because the report is signed by none other than the co-chair, Jamie Gorelick. She's a partner of WilmerHale. Jamie Gorelick. This publication is presented on behalf of the Homeland Security Advisory Council, Homeland Security Advisory Council, Subcommittee for the Disinformation Best Practices and Safeguards, and co-chaired by Jamie Gorelick. And, of course, America's favorite, Michael Chertoff.
With the worst signature ever.
You like that signature? Oh, yeah, folks, if you're listening to this by radio, and God bless you and thank you for doing so, you got to check Chertoff's signature. All right. What the hell is that? Is that a stick person?
A cursive L? I don't know.
Man, I'll tell you what. A lot of effort went into that, didn't it?
I'll be using that one.
Yeah, there you go. I bring this to you because...
Homeland.
You're done pissing me off, boy. Okay.
Do you want page six again?
Yeah, let's go to page six because this really, it's difficult to really, you got to find a little bit of humor sometimes. But okay, so page six, the introduction, And I'm, again, this will be available at the, if you go to HagmanReport.com, not on Rumble, not on Brighteon, but if you're on Rumble, Brighteon, click on the link to HagmanReport.com, open up the box for the day, and bat, bada bing, bada bang, you'll have all the show prep there. But, okay, so the bottom line is this. She is making recommendations, or Secretary Mayorkas asked the subcommittee to make recommendations for how the department can most effectively and appropriately address the disinformation that poses a threat to the homeland while protecting civil rights and providing greater... Yeah, BS. Okay. Now, the definitions. Scroll down to the definitions. There are three definitions here. Disinformation is, in essence, a particularly pernicious form of inaccurate information. And you can read the different... definitions: disinformation, misinformation, and malinformation, and the differences between the two. But if you scroll down even more to page, now the next page would be 7, we should take a look at a couple of things here included in their fight against dis and malinformation. Look at what sticks out down below. That is election security. And then down below that, you have to scroll down just a tad there. There you go. There you go. Right there. Election security. Disinformation undermines confidence in the security of U.S. elections. Wow. I wonder how much someone got paid to write that sentence. False statements on this topic have significant operational impacts on U.S. elections and such. So disregard 2,000 mules, disregard all of this, disregard the censoring of Hunter Biden's laptop, which that little puke boy, Zuckerberg from Facebook censored. And here you have it. You can't, you will not be able to utter a word, post a sentence, post a meme on social media without being branded, listed, and ultimately screwed, blued, and tattooed. And perhaps the latter literally. And then, of course, U.S. Customs and Border Protection. You speak out against the border? Goodness gracious. Let me tell you what's going to happen. The border is just fine. Repeat after me. The border is secure. It's never been more secure than in the history of this country.
Homeland.
Homeland. To 20,000 illegal immigrants have been detected crossing the English Channel in small boats in the UK. That's in 2022. You want to guess what the hell's going on down our southern border? Oh, okay. But you can't talk about that. Okay, so if you scroll down even more, and folks, read this at your leisure. Okay, they talk about mitigation. What are you going to do about this? What are we going to do about this? And you don't have to follow me on this. I mean, you can, but I'm all over the place. This is on page 10.
Yeah, I won't be able to.
The mitigation on page 10. How they're going to handle this. They're coming after you. They're coming after you. Okay, it doesn't matter if you are correct. If they don't like what you're saying, they're coming after you. People want proof. Here's your flipping proof. It's in a government document signed co-chaired by the famous, infamous Jamie Gorelick in Chertoff.
Signed L.
Good Lord. It's all in here. It's all in here. Dated August 24th, 2022. This is how they are going to take us down. Under the recommendations, this would be on page 12. It is imperative that DHS address inaccurate information that undermines its critical missions. Who decides that? They do. What's the inaccurate information? Anything that's the truth? What's off limits? Anything that makes Biden and company look bad? What? How are they going to fix it? Ultimately, as you go through these, if you don't get the message initially, they are going to take even stronger steps to make sure you never do it again. How are they going to do that? They don't come right out and say it, but certainly some sort of civil and or criminal sanction will in fact be done. One last piece of information here. This is from the same department. This is an appendix 2. If you look at this, if you go to the CISA page, CISA page, this will give you some incredible insight into what they are after. Okay, if you're a doctor, or if you just stayed at a Holiday Inn last night, I don't know. If you talk about SARS-CoV-2 originating in a lab, you have to scroll down about six pages, I suppose, there for the CISA insights. Any kind of what they consider disinformation. In fact, hey, did this come out of a lab? Hell no, it didn't. And if you say it did, we're going to toss you in jail. We're going to take away all your social media. You're not going to have any kind of ability to do anything. And we could toss you in jail because you could be inciting violent rhetoric against the CDC, against the FBI, against your neighbor, against your lesbianic LGBTQR faggot neighbor or teacher. I say that again, not for shock value, for real. Talk about 5G, perhaps, or talk about anything. And they certainly don't want you to be talking about the election. And they certainly don't want you talking about the insecure, unsecure, non-secure, non-existent southern border. Those are just a few of the CISA insights. And then the last page. The war on pineapple, understanding foreign interference in 5 steps. They now take this to make it sound like, okay, this is, although you're saying it, you are influenced by foreign influences, and you don't even know because you're too stupid. So what's the bottom line here? I just gave you the documents that show you exactly what they're going after, who they're going after, how they're going to do it, under what methods, what agencies, and the cooperation between the public, the government agencies, and NGOs or even social media, which by definition is fascism, which of course they claim they're anti-fascist. Biden said so last night. All right. Are we good? All right. Folks, as I said before, the Patriot community has taken a lot of hits over the last couple of years. And one of the latest hits, you know, Sharon Brewer passed away 2 weeks ago. And, I remember losing my mom. I mean, how can you forget that? I was 19 years old. And I found my mom passed away. And you never get over that thing. You just never get over it. I don't care if you're 60. You just never get over it. With me But one of the things, okay, so Sharon Brewer passed away. And, of course, the wife of Ted Brewer, mom of Austin and other children. And Austin's been a great friend of the program. And Sharon was on the program on May 6th of this year. And she's been on before that. And she's just the sweetest lady you'd ever want to meet. And Austin, just the greatest young man. And frankly, the greatest son a mom or dad could ask for. And, I felt like my heart was ripped out when I found out about this last week. So Austin Brewer is with me. Not to dwell on that, because it's a testament to how much she was loved and is loved. It's a testament to the impact she made on the Patriot community with things like health, and she had such a positive impact. Church was filled with flowers. In fact, they cleaned out the entire Central Florida flower. You couldn't buy a rose or a daisy anywhere close to Central Florida last week. And it says something about the person. So, it's with a heavy heart, but with a lot of joy in my heart too, to know that she was one of the best. And we know where she is. We know that she's walking with our Lord and Savior. And we appreciate that. And we appreciate your love and your emails and your flowers and everything for Sharon Brewer. So I'm going to stop right there and just bring on Austin. Austin, how are you?
Doug, I'm doing blessed as always. And, we're driving through everything, pushing through it as we always will. But mom was, she was something else. She impacted so many people's lives across the entire world. And everybody loved her. I mean, there wasn't a single person you could find in the entire world that had something negative to say about her. And her positivity, what she did for so many people. I mean, just her cookbooks alone. I had so many people at the funeral show up. And a lot of them I didn't even know. And they were listeners, family, Health Master's family, and came up and hugged me. And it was so nice to see the support and just a massive amount of turnout for her, celebration of life, and to know that she had that positive of an impact on so many people. It, it was a testament to who she was as a mom, as a wife, as a Christian, and she will be missed. And like you said, it won't be anything that I'm ever over, but one thing that I do know is that I have the peace knowing that she's walking with God Almighty now. Yeah. And she's up there with him, watching everything I do now. Probably going to lecture me when I get up to heaven and meet her. Like, I told you, Austin, you need to get more sleep. And we love her, man. We miss her. And the world is definitely less of a place without her. But quite frankly, she's in a better place than we are right now with this boondoggle that we're watching unfold in front of us right now as well.
Exactly. DHS. I didn't mean to overtake your time, and I wasn't, to be honest with you, Austin, I wasn't sure even how to, because we didn't talk before the show. I wasn't even sure how to introduce you this week. So hopefully I did okay. I didn't mean to, I don't know. So
no, I appreciate it, Doug. It's time to get back on the air. We started live shows again this week with our show. And it's what mom would have wanted. She wouldn't want me sitting around, being mopey. She'd be like, dude, stay busy. She was her work ethic, and she hustled so hard. She did so much stuff here at the office. So we're filling in that gap now as well. But,
And you're taking orders still. Don't stop ordering, right?
Yeah, we're operational. Like I said, mom would not expect us to slow down at all. So we're here. We're helping everybody. I've had dozens of letters and cards show up in the mail. Overwhelmingly. And I've been going through all of them. And, I've been continually thanking people on emails and on the show and stuff, because it's been so overwhelming. And it was wild to see somebody that, had that big of an impact on so many people. And to know that, she was my mom. She raised me. So she expects a lot out of me now.
Did a good job.
She's going to get the best out of me.
Well, I appreciate you coming on today. And folks, for those of you just tuning in or just happening upon this broadcast or this show, healthmasters.com, that's our go-to company for all nutritional supplements. It's healthmasters.com. The link will be in the program description box. That's where you get all of your, you want to stay healthy. Let me tell you, healthmasters.com, that's the place to go. And again, this is a true story. I had a doctor's appointment and this week, and they went through my blood work, and one of the blood tests that my doctor does, of course, is the vitamin D. Okay, what are your D levels? And I had kind of a lengthy conversation with him because my D levels were like high, really high. He said, I don't think I've ever seen such high D levels. What are you doing? I mean, obviously you have a tan, but so what? And I said, no. My D levels are from the product I take. It's D3K2 from healthmasters.com. He said, tell me more about Health Masters. So I gave him the website and he looked through it and he said, man, this is good stuff. So folks, get the best, healthmasters.com. That's healthmasters.com. And while you're there, you can also listen to Ted and Austin Brower, their show every weekday. It's on the right-hand side. Just click on the blue text there. It'll take you to the current show. Drill down for previous shows. And the it's good stuff. So, Austin, thank you so much. Because, man, your products are second to none. So where do you want to go?
Well, you know, one thing, I was almost laughing in a kind of sarcastic way earlier when you were talking about DHS and this misinformation, and I'm sitting there just in reading it and seeing it, what you put up there, and I'm sitting there laughing almost like, does anybody actually take this seriously? Does anybody realize what they're doing? They're literally coming out and saying misinformation is bad, misinformation is lies, misinformation will not be tolerated. And then you go, well, what is misinformation? And their response literally is whatever we deem misinformation to be. It's like,
yeah.
Wait, what do you mean? Well, what is it? Well, we don't actually have a true specific point on what it is. It's just whatever we say misinformation. So if we say it's misinformation, then it's misinformation. Well, what about when you guys blatantly lie to us? Oh, no. That's truth. That's not misinformation. But if you say that we're lying, that's misinformation. I'm like, you can't even make this stuff up, man. It's like a bad sitcom. Like, it just keeps getting worse, and you keep watching this train wreck, hoping that there's going to be some level that comes out of it that starts to look brighter with these guys, but they don't. You know, at the same time, we're blatantly, I mean, the United States government is at war with the American populace. A lot of people don't realize that. It's kind of a cold war currently right now, but I mean, we're in a full-blown war. I mean, you have bumbling buffoon Biden now for the third time. The third time now, this man has been on national television speaking to audiences and is now again for the third time threatening American patriots with F-15s and Hellfire missiles and atomic bombs. Blatant threatened us because we want to have an AR-15 semi-automatic weapon, which isn't even realistically, as he said, isn't very effective against a F-15. So then my question, I was laughing, my buddy was over last night, we were talking, again, you know, Biden gets on television, yeah, we got F-15s. What do you think the Second Amendment's for? It's not a go against the government. You're not going to go against the government. We got F-15s. And I'm like, dude, can you incite any more war and violence? Like, third time now you've done this to the American populace? I mean, blatant, outright call to arms saying, we are going to war with you. We have bigger guns and bigger jets, and you don't have enough to fight us. We are going to overtake you with superior firepower, is blatantly what he's saying. And then I'm sitting there kind of laughing, though, and I'm kind of going, but your analogy, bumbling Biden, kind of falls in on itself, because you're saying that the weapons of war, if you want to be effective, are F-15s and Hellfire missiles and atomic bombs, and your AK-47 is not effective at doing anything. So if that's the case, why do you want to ban them? If they're not effective at doing anything and they're not a weapon of war, because weapons of war are what you described, bumbling Biden, then why in the world are you trying to ban AR-15s and AKs? Because clearly, as you just stated, they are useless in a war. And it's kind
Good point.
You know what I mean? We're joking about it. I'm like, the man talks out of both sides of his mouth because he's completely senile. But, you know, with DHS doing what they're doing now, this misinformation board, with what we've been seeing with the FBI and this fiasco with Mar-a-Lago, and now them leaking this photo out to AP of alleged top secret documents on the floor on carpet that they take photos of, an ongoing investigation, releasing evidence footage, evidence photos. Oh, we've got the smoking gun. We've got top secret files now. We've got him. At the same time, you've got the guy that was heading the Hunter Biden investigation, censored everything. He's now stepped away from the FBI. The FBI literally is looking like a true textbook clown show. They look like Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey, like the elephants walking around, the guys walking on the tightrope, the tigers jumping through the fire. It's a total theater show. And now what they're trying to do is they're trying to scapegoat a few specific people to say, well, listen, you know, we didn't necessarily call up Mark Zuckerberg and tell him to squash the laptop, you know, article with the, you know, on at Facebook, but we kind of did. But we also told Twitter and Instagram, all of them, they can't let anything at all about this topic. It's all fake news. And we know it's not fake news. It's been confirmed it's not fake news. But the guy that was overseeing it, you know, it's kind of a bad apple. So we're going to let him go. First off, if anybody is that inept and moronic, they actually think this one guy in the FBI was capable of shutting down information on Facebook and was able to go in and censor and shut down an entire investigation by himself. People have some really, really moronic ideas about what's going on. They're doing it specifically the same way they did with Ghislaine Maxwell. They have a scapegoat. She's going to prison now for a couple of years. Justice was served. The first person in recorded history that sold and trafficked young girls to literally nobody, nobody in existence did anything with her, but yet she went to prison for it. And, you know, the information that she told the judge, remember he said, I can't release it. I can't let this stuff out. You're watching all these things start to culminate because they have to pick a certain person to take the brunt of it. So the American populace essentially will be, you know, a little bit okay with it. At the same time now, we're watching the most destructive, toxic injection that's pretty much, in my opinion, ever been pushed on humanity, still continue to be rolled out. Now with the injection being rolled out for their fifth booster shot this week, apparently the FDA is supposed to rubber stamp it because, as they said, Pfizer does not have to do any clinical trials, does not have to do any health testing, does not have to do any safety testing, because they simply are going in and modifying the RNA structure of the shot, allegedly, which is funny to me. And here's the irony about this, Doug, when you look at it. Pfizer, which is pretty much one of the most corrupt pharmaceutical companies in the entire world, the FDA is saying, well, Pfizer, we're gonna take your word for it. We believe you. We believe that it's the same shot in the same bottle, and you guys just tweaked it a little bit, which that's already bad enough. He just tweaked it a little bit. And we're going to trust that you're telling us the truth about everything. You know what? We're going to ignore the 400,000 pages of documentation from your research study where you blatantly lied and said the product was not only safe, it was also effective, and it has been neither. I mean, what clinical trial has a 42% spontaneous miscarriage rate in pregnant women and actually goes through the final trial phase and gets approved by the FDA? The answer is never. There's never been that horrific of clinical trial results among pregnant women. I mean, when you're talking almost half of the women enrolled in the study, participants in the study, had spontaneous miscarriages right after they got the shot. But yet, hey, nothing to see here, guys. We got to make sure we talk about how bad Kamala Harris laughs, you know, because we're talking Kim Kardashian's, her butt's getting bigger. You know, you guys talk about that stuff. And oh, by the way, fifth booster shots here. You need to go ahead and get to CVS, get it. We're going to pay $3 billion for it now to Pfizer. And this is one of the reasons, Doug, why they're putting forward this giant misinformation rebuttal campaign, because it's not misinformation. It's truth is what it is. It's a truth rebuttal campaign. They know the American populace is starting to wake up, and they are waking a sleeping giant of biblical proportions with the United States. Something that we have in this country that we still have as the American populace is the Second Amendment that they're trying, oh, ever so hard to try to take away. And then more people start to wake up, the scarier they get. This is why they've made an example of January 6th protesters. We saw criminal behavior that exceeded January 6th like no other for an entire summer of 2020 with BLM and Antifa terrorists literally firebombing cities, shooting at federal law enforcement officers, throwing Molotov cocktails and IEDs with fireworks put together at federal agents and law enforcement across the entire country. It was mostly peaceful protesting. But yet, they blatantly steal the election and 4 million people descend on the Capitol to protest it? Oh, no. That's an insurrection. They were trying to do a coup d'etat of the government. I hate to tell all the people at CNN and all the left-wing mouthpieces, it was absolutely the worst coup d'etat, if that's what it was, the worst I've ever seen, because there wasn't a single firearm that was ever recovered at the scene. There wasn't 500 patriots that ran in the Capitol building with M4s and full kit. Didn't happen. People were frustrated, and people let it out. But yet, hey, when BLM and Antifa, when they firebomb cities and drag people out of cars and beat them unconscious, well, you know, that's just them exercising their right to protest. You know, it's mostly peaceful. They are doing everything they can to shut down any dissent, and that is why it is more important now than ever with our show, with your show, with all my friends and family, with Health Master's family, you get the truth out there. You get louder than ever. We had a flip of the school board. We voted last week.
Yeah.
A conservative in. We had a stalemate with the garbage Lisa Miller that is still in there right now. They're basically doing another vote in November now. And I'm hoping that a lot of people put their actual thinking caps on. They fit their caps on real nice and tight. And they actually do some research on who this garbage is and what's on our school board. But I've already seen there was like Dade County, Sarasota County. There's like 4 or 5 other counties all across the state of Florida that all flipped like full red on the school board as well.
I saw that.
Did you see that?
Yeah. Good. Yeah. That's good. You have one holdout down there, but yeah.
And that just means we have to keep pushing forward and getting the truth exposed. I told you on the last show, it was crazy because, you know, I was on the show before, right before the election, the week before the election. And we actually had some of these school board individuals that were getting on Facebook and they were eviscerating parents and homeschool parents, stating blatantly that pretty much we had no say so. We had no right to vote for them because we were homeschoolers and we were in the school system. And I told you, I mean, I came on court. And I said, that's fine. I'm waiting on this multi-million dollar check to come back to all the Florida residents in aggregate that have been paying property taxes and have been funding your piece of garbage school board. Since obviously if we don't have a say in it, we're not funding it. And it's ironic. There's a lot of people on Facebook that brought that comment up after I said it. And all of a sudden it got real quiet in the comment section. All of a sudden it got real quiet from all the perpetrators that are trying to come in now and trying to skew this and trying to lie to everybody and tell us that we're spreading misinformation. We're not spreading misinformation. People now can do their own research. Common Core is real. You know, this critical race theory is very real. This transgender ideology they're trying to force on everybody is very real. If you guys saw, there was a video that popped up at El Paso, Texas. Did you see that? Where this teacher was literally telling the students that they're not pedophiles. You cannot refer to them as pedophiles in a high school. She said they're called MAPS.
Wait a second. You said El Paso. Now, we could be talking about two different people. This was a bald-headed, I'm not sure of the gender.
I'm pretty sure it's El Paso.
Okay, it was in my hometown, Erie, Pennsylvania. Now, again, where she is a sex therapist, but also a psychologist/therapist that works within the prison system up here, okay, which you cannot make this crap up. And I've got the video clip somewhere, but you talk about absolute just insanity where pedophile is too pejorative. It's you can't use that. It's minor attracted persons or nothing at all. And that's, I got to tell you right now, nothing more pisses me off than having someone tell me that, because that to me tells me everything I need to know about the character and about the value of that person. Go ahead.
That's a fact right there, Doug. If somebody even makes a comment like that, well, we're going to have choice words. I've always been very libertarian on my stance with a lot of stuff. If a grown man wants to look like a moron in a dress and walk around, that's his right to do so. I mean, he's going to look stupid, and I'm not going to address him as ma'am, call him sir if I have to talk to him, and I'm going to tell my child that he basically has gender dysphoria if my son asks me and say he's got a mental disorder, son, and he's coping with it in his own way. You know, some people just deal with stuff other ways. That's this guy. He's got an issue. As soon as you start talking about being attracted to children and normalizing it, my gloves come off. It goes bare knuckle at that point. I no longer am civil at all. That is a topic with me that I have a hard line in the sand that will never change. When you start saying they're minor attracted people, are you joking me right now? And I warned everybody about this. I warned everybody a decade ago when this crap started under Obama. And he started telling everybody, hey, if you want to be a grown man and go to the bathroom with a woman at Target and you'll basically violate her privacy rights, you can do so because, you know, it's whatever makes you feel good. I warned everybody. I said this will be the next door that opens up to normalizing pedophilia. And I have been spot on about it. I have been so vocal and so adamant and so obnoxious about it on a regular basis. I have made so many people mad. Don't care. This topic will never change with me, and I will adamantly fight this until the day I die, because there is no question at all that this is not acceptable behavior. And when you start talking to teenagers, when you start telling them you can't address them as pedos and they're maps, they're minor attracted people, you're done. You're done. It's over with. Goodbye. Good night. Thanks for playing. This topic does no longer go any further. This is what they're trying to normalize, Doug. This is why they're promoting the school system. This is why they're putting it in movies. This is why they're talking about it in schools. This is why they're trying to normalize it. Once you talk about something enough, once you expose it enough, once you continually get it out there, as you've seen, and we've watched through society over the last, you know, 30 years become more and more corrupt, it becomes normal. What we saw, and I use this analogy, what we saw in the 90s when I grew up on television, sitcoms, TV shows, movies, what we saw back then, there were some things that came out, movies that came out, we're like, golly, on TV. The stuff that is out on TV now would literally be like X-rated and blocked on television 20, 30 years ago. They wouldn't even allow it. They'd be like, Josh, you cannot put that on television. It's not okay. You can't put that out there. But again, it's the slow degradation, slowly degrades the morale. They've done this primarily through the school system. That's why I've been so adamant about getting active, voting for your school board members, and being very, very in depth. Do your own research about who these people are, because this is the next realm. Is now that they've got the tranny agenda here and they've got everybody to accept it. Well, most people to accept, I should say. The next step is going to be normalizing the pedos. And that's going to be the final phase of where they come in now and say, well, listen, we just have to change the age of marriage. You know, if a 40-year-old man wants to marry a 12-year-old, which they do in some areas of the world still, that's totally cool. You know, we're going to normalize that. It's fine. Because, you know, they're people too. And once you go that realm and once you start messing with the kids, the society, in my opinion, is damned by God Almighty at that point. You see what happened in society in previous history. This is why God was so adamant about not being involved with the worship and the sacrifice and passing their children to the altars of Baal. They were involved in all that ritualistic, sexual ritualistic stuff back then. The Israelites kept getting involved in it. It is detestable to God. It is one of the only things that you repeatedly see God execute people for, including opening up the earth and swallowing them when they start getting involved in that kind of stuff. So again, that's my stance on it. I will not change on it. But yes, anytime you see this, my friends, listen, anytime you see it, it has to go viral and blast it out as negatively as you can and let the world know, let your friends know, let your school members know that this is not acceptable. We will not normalize this and we will not go along with what they're continually trying to do. And that's normalizing pedophile behavior under any circumstances, Doug. I will fight this all the way going down.
Okay. I've got a minute, 50-second roughly clip. What you're talking about, I'm not sure if we're talking about the same person, but this is from my hometown. And believe me, I haven't even begun, okay, because this is in my backyard. You mind if we play a little bit of this? And you can tell me, too, if this is the same one you saw. Is that right? Austin, you there?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
All right, somebody send me another article real quick.
Okay, we'll play this right now. Go ahead.
Folks, my name is Miranda. I use she, her pronouns, and I'm a licensed professional counselor and sex therapist in Erie, Pennsylvania. And today I want to talk about minor attracted persons. And I want to talk about minor attracted persons because they are probably the most vilified population of folks in our culture. And most folks are making incorrect assumptions about them without actually knowing much about them. And those assumptions create harm for an already marginalized population. You may have noticed that I'm using the term minor attracted persons, sometimes abbreviated to MAPS, instead of the more commonly used term pedophile. And I'm doing this because the term pedophile has moved from being a diagnostic label to being a judgmental, hurtful insult that we hurl at people in order to harm them or slander them. I also prefer person first language that recognizes that any label we might apply to a person is only part of who they are and doesn't represent everything that they are. We are all people first with many different facets or parts of ourselves. And this includes folks who are attracted to minors.
No, shut the F off. Okay, that's enough. So is that who you were talking about?
No, there's another one now. There's actually, this is a completely different one. It's like about a 20-second photo or a cell phone recording of a high school student that's in a high school class, and the teacher's talking about it and essentially kind of says what this lady does, but in a much more shorter brief.
I saw that. Yes. Yes. Okay. That was all fast. So,
what we're seeing now is exactly what I was just mentioning here, like with this lady and the other one in the high school in Texas. This is becoming a topic of discussion. Now, in psychology, you first have to introduce an idea or a topic to a group. You have to see basically the feedback. You have to have test subjects. What's the outlook? What's the aspect? How are people receiving it? Are they really negative to it? Are they positive to it? That's the first topic of getting something out there. Then what you do is you start taking the negative topics of this certain item, and you get feedback and you start tweaking it. And this is what they're doing now. So they're saying, well, pedophile is a stigmatized word. So now they're looking at it, they're going, pedophile is a stigmatized word. You've got that now. So now we're going to rephrase it. We're going to package it up in a nice little box and we're going to rebrand it. And now we have MAPS. MAPS sounds so nice. Nobody can get mad at MAPS. I mean, heck, MAPS are just geographical topics, right? Or they're pedophiles, could be used one the same. And what they're going to do is you're going to start hearing this term brought up more actively now. And they're going to start bringing it up in classes. They're going to bring it up in college. And they're going to use it as a term that most people aren't going to understand what they're saying. And then people are going to look it up. And they're going to go, okay, they're talking about pedos. But then they, in turn, subconsciously, are going to start using the term MAPS. And when they start using it, other people are going to hear them normalize the term, and it's going to be a cycle of normalcy all the way down to where people start saying, yeah, well, they're in the MAPS group. You know, they're no big deal. You know, we kind of just let them do their thing. We don't stigmatize them. You know, we're trying to help them out. They're a MAP. And that's exactly what they're doing right now. Clear indoctrination, pure propaganda at its finest form. And that is why I said earlier, I am not going to back off the topic with the pedos, and I am not going to slow down, nor do I care if anybody gets offended by it. There are a lot of things that I try to monitor what I say, is I don't want to hurt people's feelings all the time. This topic, no quarter, no mercy at all with this. And Americans, patriots, Christians, listen to me. They're coming after the kids. They're coming after full force. They're in the schools. I watched it. I've seen it firsthand with my eyes here in Central Florida, and had a real eye-opening. That is why they were so obsessed. They were so obsessed with making these little children wear masks. They wanted to take their identity away. They wanted to break them down. They wanted to bring them down so they could control them more. Now, I'm not saying all the people in the school board are like this. I'm not saying that at all. But the ones that were running the show and the ones that were pushing this agenda, they are 100%, in my opinion, if they are not open pedophiles, they are closet pedophiles. And they enjoyed the pain and suffering and misery they put on these children. They are pure sociopaths. Get them out of the school board. Find out who they are. You will be able to judge them by their roots. You'll see what they actually do. And what they start doing it, once they start exposing themselves, gone. Get them out. talk about it, get knowledge out there, do your own research, and make sure you continue to spread the truth as much as you can, because this is going to be what's next, Doug. This misinformation board you're seeing with DHS, you better believe they've already been working on it as far as the topics with trans. They say in New York, if you call somebody, misgender them intentionally, you can be like fined and arrested now. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That'll be coming next for the pedos. That'll be next. Oh, well, you can't say that. You can't judge him because he's a pedophile. You know, this is hate speech, Austin. This is hate speech. No, it's not hate speech. It's facts. It's not misinformation. It's facts. It's a big difference. I welcome anybody to have an open, complete adult dialogue with me on a certain topic. I'm always open to a lot of stuff. And a lot of times my viewpoint and my idea on certain things, somebody may explain to me, say, you know what? I was dealing with this. I went through this. And, you know, I got him. Like, okay, I understand that. But this topic of trying to forcefully make everybody accept it and make it normal, no, not okay at all. Especially when they start telling you, you can't say anything, but we can say whatever we want. But anything you say is hate speech and disinformation. Like I said earlier, well, what's disinformation? Well, it's whatever we say disinformation is. Well, now you're just lying to everybody. No, see, what you just said is disinformation. That's what they're getting ready to do, and they're spooling it up. And we've seen it now in the last couple of years with the censoring on social media. It's about to get real serious, real fast, and it is our duty as Americans to get louder and louder and louder and spread our footprint even further now to show them we're not going to back down. They want a war, they're going to get a war with us, whether it's an information war or anything else escalates past that. They're going to get one, and they got one now in this, Doug.
Austin Brower, healthmasters.com. Glad to have him back, by the way. Austin Brower, healthmasters.com. Healthmasters.com. Make sure you bookmark that website. Folks, get well. Make sure you are well, okay? Support your immune system. Hey, vitamins C, D3, K2. They have it all. Best on the planet, in my view. That's healthmasters.com. And make sure you go shopping tonight and throughout this holiday weekend. Make them work. And there it is right there, healthmasters.com. All right, sir. To you.
Absolutely. Well, and back onto speaking of misinformation, this is kind of funny. So I brought it up on our show the other day. It's not funny, but it's ironic, I guess you could say. Is, you know, you remember we talked about it in detail. During the big giant scandemic of COVID, there was constant, this is where a lot of the misinformation BS started. They started saying anything that people talked about that was effective against fighting upper respiratory virus, i.e. COVID, was a lie. Anything that worked was a lie. Vitamin C, oh, no, you can't use that. D3, no, can't do that. We have doctors that are using intravenous vitamin C with D3 and getting people straight out of the hospital. Nope, lie. We have people using ivermectin with zinc and vitamin C coming right out of the hospital. Nope, misinformation, lie. The only thing that's allowed to be talked about is what we approved to be talked about. And this is where we saw it really come into effect in big fruition, where they really came in and started to crack down. We saw this. I saw this a lot on social media. You talked about anything natural. Total. Nope, can't talk about it. And this is when I told everybody, this is what woke a lot of people up on. As I told everybody, I said, the government wants us to be healthy, right? Yeah. The government wants to protect us, right? Yeah. The government said, protect me. I said, okay, the government wants to have the least amount of deaths possible, right? They're telling us it's horrific. COVID's horrific. Yeah. They don't want anybody to die. They want to save everybody. Wouldn't that be the best thing to do? Is any available option right now to help your immune system get stronger? Well, yeah, that makes sense. Why are they telling us there's absolutely nothing you can do except basically sit in the corner and cry and wait for their RNA vaccine to get approved very hastily? Well, because there's nothing you can do. I said, there's nothing you can do because you've been lied to. I said, we've seen the research on inositol cysts, on what it does with helping lung tissue. We've seen what it does with detoxifying the body. And ironically enough, I forgot about this article Steve brought it to me the other day. I had talked about it like at the beginning of COVID. I threw it away. It was gone. And it was a research study from February 1991. The title of it was Suppression of Human Immunodeficiency Virus Expression in Chronically Infected Monocytic Cells by Glutathione and Inositol Cysteine. And in a nutshell, what it did was it talked about the glutathione production and N-acetylcysteine and how it actually helped to suppress the HIV virus in HIV-positive patients. N-acetylcysteine was actually not curing, but massively suppressing the side effects from HIV in the body. NAC by itself. What's funny is the bottom author, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 authors. The bottom author, the one of the main men that was involved in this study, none other than Anthony Fauci. Anthony Fauci was author on a research study in 1991 showing that increased glutathione production and N-acetylcysteine was helping to suppress HIV and HIV positive patients. He knew it was effective in suppressing viruses, yet he told everybody, nothing you can do, wait for the shot, wear 5 masks, social distance, and be scared for your life. The whole thing was a complete and total fabricated lie. Was there a virus floating around, COVID virus? Oh, yeah, I got it. Put me on my butt for about 4 or 5 days. Did I bounce out of it? Absolutely. Did a lot of people that I know get sick from it? Yeah. Did a lot of people die from COVID? I don't personally think so. A lot of people died with COVID, and a lot of people that I know, pretty much almost everybody that I know died. My opinion, died from remdesivir. Numerous people, friends of mine, parents and friends of mine. It was horrible. But so when you start having, my whole point in bringing this up is, when you have Fauci penning a research study from 91 talking about this with NAC, and then 30 years later, he's telling us there is no viable option whatsoever for an upper respiratory virus. You just need to sit and wait. These are the same people that are now telling us we're going to have the misinformation review board, and anything we deem to be bad, we're claiming it to be disinformation. This is why it's so crucial to get the truth out there. This is why we do what we do on our show, Doug. It's why you do what you do. If nobody has access to the truth, these clowns, they're the ones that are running the show. They're the ones that are lying to everybody. And the more people that we can have get truth out to, the more people it grows exponentially. And that is why it's so important. And thank you for the support of Health Masters. And thank you for all the emails and everything that's happened the last week and a half. I've gotten so many emails and a lot of stuff just helping me build up more. And I appreciate that. And, you know, same thing with your listeners. It's so important right now, guys. We support one another. This is an information war. We're all at it. We're all in it at the same place. Be there for one another. Support one another. Stay strong on all this stuff. But there is no doubt about it. We have a very, very significant fight on our hands with DHS doing what they're doing now. They're no longer doing it subtly, you know, telling Facebook to suppress it. They're blatantly telling us now, this is our new review board. This is our new disinformation board. We're going to claim anything that we don't like and we don't want you to talk about, misinformation. And you, like you said, Doug, you watch and see if they don't start criminalizing, censoring complete topics online and going in and saying, well, guess what? This is illegal now to talk about this, like they have in Germany. There's certain things that are forbidden. You can't talk about them in Germany. That's where it's going to head next here. And they're going to claim anybody that talks about these things is essentially a militia violent extremist, an MVE. That's going to be the next phase that they're going to start rolling out. And so you're either going to talk about it and be labeled that, or you're going to self-censor and not talk about it because you're scared of reprisal. That's what they've done in communist China. That's what they've done in almost any tyrannical country. That's what we cannot allow to happen here. And it starts with one person at a time standing up for their convictions, though.
You know, you are so right. You are so correct. And people may be surprised. Some people might be surprised to see this. Yesterday, Natalie Winter's National Pulse came out with an article that said Biden White House colluded with big tech to censor COVID info emails proof. And right on the screen is an email back from July of 2021 that proves that the Biden White House was telling big tech, Twitter, Facebook, and all of the Instagram and all the other places what they should or could not allow through. And this relationship between the federal government and major social media platforms was brought to the open through a lawsuit filed by Missouri Attorney General Eric Schmidt and Louisiana Attorney General Jeff Landry in May. So the information's out there. And, you know, again, we have a fight on our hands, as you stated. The fact of the matter is they decide, they get to decide what we're allowed to say. And you know what? I don't give this country much hope, much of a chance if they allow this to stand and if we don't push back every day like you do by visiting the school boards, by visiting the town meetings, by doing all of that. So that's why your work is important. Our work is important. I think that together we need to push back. And you know, what's the alternative? Austin, what's the alternative? We shrivel away and die. I mean, basically.
Pretty much. There's not a whole lot of other options on the table anymore. I mean, we have a senile president who's blatantly threatening the American Patriot population with F-15s three times in a row. You got DHS doing this. They're going to be an onslaught. And what I personally think is going to happen this fall with this shot rolling out, this bivalent shot that has to have zero clinical testing, zero research, zero health studies, I personally think you're going to start seeing people come down with immense diseases like they already are right now from the shot, as most people's immune systems are grenaded that have gotten all four of the shots. I think this fifth one is going to be the ticker. I think it's going to be one that's going to punch a lot of people's time card. And what they're going to do is they're going to come out and say, well, listen, this is because of the unvaccinated. I mean, remember, forget that. I mean, I talked to somebody the other day, they've forgotten all about it. I said, do you remember when CNN and all the mainstream medias, they were blatantly blaming everybody that didn't want to get this RNA gene therapy shot? They were blaming us for spreading COVID. This is a pandemic of the unvaccinated. The unvaccinated are spreading this virus to everybody. And I'm like, what world are you living on? No, nobody's spreading anything. The people are constantly getting sick, being hospitalized, and people keep getting a shot. What are you babbling about? Didn't matter. Again, it's the truth only when they say it's the truth. And whatever thing that goes against it, well, that's misinformation. I'm not going to forget about what they did just for 2.5 years. I expect nobody else to do so. Because quite frankly, if we let them do it again and we go for this again, quite frankly, America doesn't deserve to be a country anymore if aggregately people go along with this. As sad as that's for me to say, because I have kids. I want the best for my family. I want to give them a life, long life, prosperous, and be able to enjoy it here, enjoy what I had growing up here in this beautiful country that we have. But if people go along with this and actually start getting this fifth booster shot, which I'm sure people are. I mean, they got 170 million doses of it coming. I can't fathom that this many people would get this. I mean, I don't know. I think it's just a brainwashing, isn't it, Doug? There's many people that are brainwashed.
It's either a very effective mind control experiment or people are less intelligent than I ever thought, less research, or more trusting in the government. I can't imagine having the information I have right now that we all have and saying, yeah, this is okay. I talked to one of the most stubborn people I've met. I'm not going to name her name, obviously, but she was always on me about not getting vaxxed. And finally, after her, two shots, two boosters, and about three rounds of COVID later, she said, I'm done. I'm done with this crap. I'm thinking to myself, wow, it only took you that long to understand that none of this worked. So it's crazy. It really is.
No, it is. And I mean, it's just pretty much to the point now where I've told people, I said, as weird as this is, I know it sounds all conspiracy theory, tinfoil hat. I said, but as weird as it is, I said, you can pretty much count your dollars now. If the federal government comes out and tells you something, you do the exact opposite of what they tell you to do. Exactly. Pretty much on everything. I mean, as sad as that is, I never thought I would say that in my lifetime. And it sounds weird, but it's like whatever they say, pretty much do the opposite of what they say. And I mean, now in California, they come out and they tell everybody by 2035, there will be no longer anybody be able to buy a new internal combustion engine vehicle. 2035, you know, 12 years from now, 13 years from now, all banned. Not going to be able to buy it. Only electric vehicles. Literally 3 days later, they put out this big freaking statement saying they're going to give people text updates and notifications on when they can and can't use their appliances in their house, and they're asking them not to charge their electric cars, and they're asking them not to run their dishwashers, and they need to put their AC on 78 or higher at all times. Well, because, you know, the electrical grid's about to collapse in California. Well, wouldn't that mean we probably need to stop selling electric cars over there if it's putting this big of a hit on it? Oh, no, 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 no. You buy more electric cars. It's good for the fire. It's green. Right, Austin? It's green. Right. It's green. That's why it's shutting down the electrical grid, because it's so they're so inept out there. Right. Let's build more electric cars. The whole thing is a total sham. They're telling you to do one thing while the results are completely different, but they're telling you the results aren't bad. They're just good. I mean, this is we're talking like South American kind of stuff, rolling brownouts. You know, my wife lived in Ecuador as a missionary for a couple of years when she was growing up. And I've talked to guys that, you know, that lived in, you know, Honduras and other countries down there in Ecuador. And they told me, they said, yeah, there's a lot of parts of it. They just, everybody knows you have like rolling brownouts. All of a sudden, the whole thing just shuts off, powers off for a couple hours. And he goes, eventually people get used to it, you know? Because why? Well, because the peasants just adapt. That's exactly what they're doing right now. They're getting people used to the idea that the power grid can't be handled. So you can't drive your car because you can't charge it, can't turn on your TV, you can't put your refrigerator on, can't run your dishwasher. Well, we're doing it all to save the environment, guys. Though. Remember, and then that's why we're giving $50 billion to Ukraine, because it's science, of course. Give $50 billion to the third most corrupt country in the entire world because, you know, we're fighting for democracy, right? This is what they do every single time. And this is why it is so important that we continue to keep the fight going uphill to them with the truth. That's why it's so important you stay sharp, keep your immune system strong, continue to take care of your body. I've continually told people this, especially with the constant stress that's been going on. In my life personally, and a lot of other people are dealing with stuff as well. So I put together that vitamin C stress kit with the vitamin C, the cortisol buster, and the adrenal support. And I've been hammering those products. I haven't gotten sick. It's been staying healthy, as hard as that is for me to believe right now. But again, you've got to take care of your body. If you know you got certain products, you know you got certain nutrients and tools in your arsenal, by all means, run it and gun them when you got to, because there's a lot of stuff going on right now. And people got to keep a clear head, and you have to make a good, informed decision about a lot of topics that are happening right now. Don't just go along to get along. Now is not the time anymore. We had that luxury a ways back. We no longer have that luxury. That's like Jim Rohn said, don't ask for life to be easier. Ask that you become stronger. And that is something that people have to realize. It's not going to be easy. We don't want it to be easy. We don't want to deal with this stuff. We want just everything to just kind of go along. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what we want. It's what we're getting. Ask to be stronger. Ask how to become stronger and continue to push forward and grind as hard as we can for the truth and righteousness and peace and joy fulfilling. We also get through Jesus Christ, because that's really where our ultimate salvation is at the end of the day. When all this is said and done and all the smoke clears, we get to be with God Almighty in heaven. And that's the beauty of all of this. But why we're here right now, we're going to fight for the truth, Doug. I know you are as well.
Austin, quite the inspiration. I want to thank you so very much. I can't believe how quickly time flies, and here we are within a minute or two of the end of the program. Just want to remind everyone, healthmasters.com. Is there any kind of promotional code, coupon code at all, or no?
I'll activate HR5 here in a minute when I get off the show. It's nothing's going on right now, but I'll HR5, that'll be 5% off all regular products on the website. I'll do that for everybody.
All right. Austin Brower, healthmasters.com. Austin, I want to thank you for your I know that things have got to be really wild in your universe right now. So we're praying for you. We're praying for your family. And we appreciate everything you do. And the fact that you keep on fighting. I know that's the best way to handle things, is to keep fighting. And that's what everyone would want to. So we appreciate you. Thank you, Austin.
Thank you, Doug. I appreciate it, my friend.
All right. Folks, that was Austin Brower, healthmasters.com. Don't forget, tonight when you shop, or tonight when you get off the broadcast, please go to healthmasters.com. HR5 is the coupon code. And as you enter into the weekend for the extended weekend, please get ready. Get ready. What else would you be doing? And speaking of the holiday weekend, I know this is the first weekend of September. Because of the Labor Day weekend, we will have our Patreon meeting next Sunday. Is that okay, Eric the Tech? All right. So a week from this coming Sunday will be the Patreon meeting. Not this Sunday, but next Sunday. We appreciate that. May God bless each and every one of you. Please keep Austin and his family in your prayers. and keep us in your prayers as well. I mean, there's so much stuff going on. Boy, I'll tell you what, it would take a day and a half to explain everything. May God bless each and every one of you. Thank you. Let's fight the fight and get ready to fight the fight. Have a good night, everyone.